Mr. Marshman, you ready?
Oh, okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We have to treat it just like a new meeting.
Call the meeting, ask the clerk to call the roll.
Mayor Williams?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Marshburn?
Here.
Councilmember Behringer? Councilmember Kennedy?
Here.
Councilmember Singleton?
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm pleased to represent the council on the item regarding the council vacancy. Just a few little statistical things. As most of you know, we had 27, by my count, persons to apply for our position. All very, very good applicants. It was a difficult decision, but the council went through a process of selecting four of those 27 to be interviewed. We completed our interview process last Wednesday and today. And I'm pleased to report that the council was unanimous in recommending that Mr. Elmo Vance be selected to fill the vacancy. I've been in touch with Mr. Vance by phone and informed him of our decision, and he graciously accepts our offer to fill this vacancy and desires, we talked about a starting date and desires to be sworn in at the second meeting in April, which is the 16th, I believe it is. And so I'm pleased to inform you and others of that, and we expect public information to go out on that by our information officer forthwith.
Very good.
I'll defer to any other comments other council members may care to make in regards to this matter.
Just say that we had 27 applications and all good applications. We went down and selected four to interview. Mr. Dellinger here tonight was one of our interviewees and did a great job of representing himself, and will be a fine council person. He decided to run when Dan was elected. I told him that, and as were the other candidates. We had Ms. Parks and also Mr. Rod Keller. So we had good candidates, and Mr. Vance, of course, has served many capacities here in the town, the Planning Commission and Board of Adjustment, now the Parks and Recs Committee. So I know he'll do a good job working for the town and fulfilling Mr. John's term.
Anyone else?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to say how encouraging it was that so many people were interested. It makes us feel like we have done a good job representing our roles in what's involved in our vision for Garner, and for so many individuals to come out and say, I want to be part of that, it's very, very encouraging.
Very good. Anyone else?
I think Mr. Vance will... I mentioned this earlier when we were having some of our discussion before we voted, is that Mr. Vance represents a lot of the qualities that we saw for many years in Mr. Johns, and I think Mr. Johns would be very pleased with our selection of Mr. Vance. And from now on, I'll probably say Elmo. But at the same time, I'd say for the benefit of Damien that's here tonight and for Mona Parks that was interviewed and for Joe Keller that was interviewed, that if everybody had, we only had a couple of people that attended the interviews from the public. But if you had attended, they would have been very impressed with the folks that had made application and made the short list. And I would say to all of them, do not be discouraged. Be encouraged. And there's a future. And Garner will be in good hands in the future if folks of the same character and integrity and ability that showed up for these interviews, we will be served well in the future. And truly be encouraged.
Mr. Mayor, just one final comment. I'd again like to thank my fellow council members for their diligence in following the process and working some extra meetings and those kinds of things. And so I think everybody worked well together, and I'm proud of the effort, and would echo much of what's already been said. But thank you, fellow council members. I think the I think we have a good replacement. Thank you.
And the committee done a good job. Look it up. Mr. B.T. Sackler.
Actually, Mayor, I think we, the way the agenda reads, we've got, this is a new meeting, we got to adopt agenda, and so I move that we adopt the agenda as presented in our package.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor, if I say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Very good. Mr. Sackler.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, fellow council members. Paul Sider and I are here tonight to provide you with an update with regards to our health renewal, as well as some of the other benefits plans that will renew as of July 1st of this coming year. Just want to start by giving a quick update. As I think each of you remember, we had conversations during your retreat back in November about healthcare. We also provided an update to you back in January. The messages that we heard from you were obviously from a cost perspective. We needed to do all we could to bring the costs of our healthcare premiums down, both for our staff members as well as for the town. Another objective that was put out before us was to try and provide choice to staff members with regards to several options that could be considered. And the third thing is wanting to make sure that we maintain our competitive advantage with regards to attraction and retention. So with that, I am pleased to share with you tonight, along with Paul, the process that we went through and the recommendations that we have for you tonight with regards to our healthcare, as well as some of the other benefits programs that our town and staff enjoy. So just to talk a little bit about the process, with Paul's great assistance, we requested and received proposals from four different vendors. Our current vendor, Aetna, Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina, the League of Municipalities with their Medco program, and United Healthcare. So we had four different vendors submit those proposals, and we had that to consider. In addition to that, we also asked of each of the vendors to provide us with different levels of coverage. So we asked each of the vendors to do the best that they could to match our current levels of coverage. We asked for what we called a medium level of coverage, which we considered to be one step different, both in terms of deductibles, copays, out-of-pocket maximums, prescription drug programs. And then we asked for a two-step back with regards to a proposal, and that we considered or called our low option. So four different vendors, three different options, and as you'll see in a moment, one of the options, one of the vendors we ruled out based on their initial bid. In addition to that, we also looked at each of those options as a single option, as we currently have in force today with our Aetna plan, and then we also looked at the possibility of a dual option. So choosing a combination of the current and a medium, current and low, medium and low. So we had some variables to work through there. So we looked at both single option, which is similar to our current plan, and a dual option in which staff members would have a choice between benefits programs. Our recommendation with regards to healthcare is to continue our relationship with Aetna. We are recommending that we move to a dual option plan, maintaining the current levels of benefits that we have in force today, as well as the one step below that, which we called the medium option. And in this particular case, our staff members will have the choice with regards to whether they stay with the current level of benefits or whether they go to a program that has, as an example, a little bit higher out-of-pocket maximums, a little bit higher deductibles, but a little bit lower level of premium each month that they would be required to pay. We continue to recommend that the town pay 100% of the staff-only contributions, and that's after the voluntary health risk assessment questionnaire that we started last year and we're continuing this year, and that the town continued to contribute 33.7%, which is unchanged contribution for dependents. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we're recommending that we continue to utilize the health risk assessment questionnaire for staff members to receive that 100% town contribution on the staff premiums. This recommendation, initially, Paul and I met with Rodney. We had a conversation about the different options. We then met with Pam and discussed that with her. Rodney, Pam, and I met. And then we ultimately met with the two assistant town managers and Mike as a budget team. And we came to this consensus with regards to the balance between the fiscal responsibility of lowering the healthcare costs, as well as balancing choice and our attraction and our retention goals. I'm going to shift here for a moment out of this presentation, and I will show you, this is a little bit of an eye test, and I apologize for that. But this is a comparison of initially the four different plans, Aetna, Blue Cross Blue Shield, the North Carolina League, and United Healthcare. This particular slide is the slide that maintains the comparability between our current plan. So this is our current plan with Aetna, which is bolded in this section here, and the comparison that Paul put together with regards to Blue Cross Blue Shield, the League, and United Healthcare. And for those that are squinting, Aetna came in at an equivalent of a 4% reduction in costs over our current premiums. Blue Cross Blue Shield came in at 2.9% reduction. The North Carolina League and their Medco program came in at a positive 3.2%, or a 3.2% increase over our current costs. United Healthcare came in at a negative 10.1% decrease as well. I'm going to scroll this up a little bit so everyone can see. The nomenclature that we use is if it's green, it's a net positive relative to the comparator, which in this case is Aetna. And if it's yellow, it's a net negative relative to the comparator. So you can see at different levels. So, for example, the deductibles, out-of-pocket maximums, our current in the ACO network, as an example, is $750 and $1,500. Blue Cross Blue Shield was $500 and $1,000. The League was $750 and $1,500, as well as United Healthcare. They were able to match exactly. As I scroll down through this, you'll see the greens and the yellows under the United Healthcare. Primarily in this section here, we found that the prescription drug program was not as competitive as our current or some of the other options that were provided and available to us. As I scroll down a little bit lower, what you're going to find on this chart is very similar structure. We have dropped the League out of this chart because of their 3.2% increase in cost. And this is looking at a medium benefit level. So you can see purposefully this column here with the deductibles and the out-of-pocket maximums are yellow all the way across, because that is the those are the two areas where we were changing the factors. And as a result of that, what we saw in the high as an example for annual deductibles were 750 and 1500 in the medium benefit level. That same network, it's double, 1500 and 3000. And then that goes across 1500 and 3000 for Blue Cross Blue Shield, the same for United Healthcare. Same process with regards to greens and yellows. And again, with the United Healthcare program, the drug program was not where we wanted it to be relative to our expectations and our current program with Aetna. So this is an example, again, of in our recommendation, both of these would be what we're recommending. So staying with Aetna, having staff make a choice between the current benefit level and also having the opportunity to choose this medium benefit level. And staff will have the choice to pick one of those two programs under Aetna based on our recommendation. The other slide that I want to show you here tonight are some of the costs associated with each of those programs in our recommendation. The current column up here is our Aetna current costs that are being paid currently. So, for example, staff only, the total monthly premium is $935. Under Aetna's proposal for the current, with the equivalent of a 4% reduction, that $935 monthly premium is reduced to $917.25. So apples to apples, the equivalent of the 4% reduction. And then if you look at the medium benefits option, that same staff-only monthly premium is reduced to just under $857, $856.95. And that trend continues throughout the other tiers of coverage, employee and spouse, employee and children, and family. And you can see Paul has helped with regards to the percent change, straight 4% equivalent change for the current benefit from this year to next year. No changes in our benefits coverage, no changes in our networks, no changes in the deductibles or copays. And then by adding the medium benefits option, as I mentioned, we have made some changes specifically with regards to the out-of-pocket maximums and the copays. And then you start to see the reductions that having that medium option allows for with regards to costs both for the town as well as costs for staff members who have to make those dependent payments each month. I'm going to pause there for a moment and turn to Paul and see if there's anything, Paul, that I've missed or anything that you would like to clarify.
Would this be a good time to talk about the rebates?
Sure. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. If anybody had taken out their calculators and compared on this chart the current Aetna premium, for example, for employee only of $935.66 and the Aetna alternate high premium of $917.25, you would find out that it doesn't come out to a 4% decrease. There's a piece of this puzzle that's not showing on the page. But I assure you that in the end, it is 4%. And that is that the four competitors, including Aetna, who's your current vendor, were so excited about proposing it and giving the best bid that they could. They pulled out every available option And this is the first time I've ever seen this. They were actually offering rebates. Blue Cross did the same thing. Aetna's rebate is $55,000. It's just a check they're going to write to Town of Garner if Town of Garner renews with the Aetna health plan for next year and stays with Aetna for a full 12 months. They're going to write a $55,000 check. The premiums are actually only 2% lower, not 4%. But we've applied the $55,000 rebate evenly across the premiums to make them, you know, 4% effectively. So the employees see a 4% reduction in the amount of their paycheck deductions for covering dependents. And the Town of Garner sees a 4% reduction in the amount that they pay when the rebate is taken into consideration. So I hope that clears up any question you might have had about the math behind the scenes and this idea of a rebate. We've not seen that before with Aetna or any of the town's vendors in the past. One of the things I'd just like to point out on this sheet, it can get lost among the other numbers, with the emboldened option, the high and medium dual option that the town is recommending for renewal. In the blue on the far right column, you'll notice the employee contribution as expressed in a term of percent change over current. Yes, there's the 4% that we've mentioned a number of times. The town intends to fund the high option, so the town's cost will be the same whether an employee chooses the high option or the medium option. Where it becomes interesting for the employee is that the employee can take that high funding, applying it to a lower premium plan, the medium plan, and suddenly they see a significant reduction in their paycheck deductions for that medium plan if they cover dependents. It's 23.2%. And this is much needed relief that employees are looking for at Town of Garner for covering dependents. It's at the cost of higher deductible and out-of-pocket liability on the employee's part for each of their family members. But the choice is the employee's. The employee can choose to stay with the high option with its very modest out-of-pocket liability, but higher monthly pay, or not monthly, but paycheck deductions, or the employee can opt for the higher out-of-pocket liability, but the lower paycheck deductions. It's completely up to the employee and their budget and their tolerance for risk. It gives them more choice and more freedom and potentially more savings. Thank you, BD.
I'm going to pause at this moment and see if there's any questions about what we have been talking about so far. Mr. Kennedy?
When I read it, and I didn't realize that what the yellow was highlighting, but I'm glad you explained that. But when I read it over, actually, on the first read, it seems like that the reduction by Aetna is seems to be the smallest of any of them. So it looked like that United Healthcare had the greatest reduction. And so what I'm just reading into the numbers tells me one thing. You're recommending different. So what am I missing? Educate me, because I believe what you say, so fill in the blanks.
So you're right. If we were going strictly from a financial perspective, the United Healthcare and the amounts that they bid were the largest in terms of the reductions. As we discussed what we were looking to do, certainly the financial aspects of this was very important, both for the town as well as trying to reduce the premiums for our staff members as well. The other aspects of this that we wanted to take into consideration was making sure that our health coverage remained strong in terms of its competitiveness based on what it was going to provide, so that we could continue to retain our staff members and could also attract new staff members as we went through the recruitment process. So we looked at a much broader segment of criteria rather than just financial only. Specifically with regards to UnitedHealthcare, what we did look at and were very concerned about were the prescription drugs. And again, we don't delve into the details of what staff members are using what drugs, but we're aware of the fact that this is something that's very important to our staff members. And there was quite a bit of difference in terms of the costs associated with the UnitedHealthcare plan from their drug coverage than from either Aetna or Blue Cross Blue Shield. So it was a combination of the benefits offerings under UnitedHealthcare and the fact that we were looking at strongly the financial aspects of the bids, but also wanting to make sure that we maintained competitiveness from an attraction and retention of staff members as well.
One more question. What did all three of the companies in the final, Aetna, the League, and UHC, did all three of them offer rebates?
Two of the three offered rebates. Aetna offered the $55,000 rebate that Paul mentioned a moment ago. Blue Cross Blue Shield offered a $10,000 rebate. The League did not offer any rebates, nor did UnitedHealthcare.
Let's see if anybody else has a question. Is some thought paid also to, since the Aetna and Blue Cross are relatively close except for the reimbursement or the rebate, is there thought given to that we've been with Aetna, 3 years now? And we've had some ups and downs, and instead of creating a track record where we are just picking the lowest price this year and changing in a subsequent year to whoever can offer the lowest price, does it make a difference to try to establish the longer range relationship so that when we have some abnormalities in our own particular profile of serious illnesses, that we're likely to be better treated with that long-term relationship?
Yes, sir.
That is, in the subsequent year, knowing that we've had a recent anomaly, so to speak.
Yes, that is correct. So we certainly took into account the value of not moving each year from one particular vendor to another or in short periods of time. In addition to that, and I must say it was very low on the priority list, but in terms of the relationship that we have been able to establish with Aetna, it's taken us several years to get to the point where we have a strong, trusted relationship with our account reps, with Aetna. And so while that was nowhere near close to being top of the list, the relationship with Aetna was also something that we took into consideration as we made this decision.
I got various items on the on our email regarding business happenings across the state, and in one of them, I can't remember. Makes no difference now. I think I sent along pointed out to you that Blue Cross Blue Shield had made quite a bit of money this past year.
Yes.
And they were also being more aggressive at reducing the cost. But in final analysis here, there's only 0.4%. So I don't have any problem with the recommendation.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, it was 0.4% here on the medium, but on the current to current, Aetna came back at the equivalent of 4%. Aetna came back at the equivalent of 2.9%. So it was even a little bit bigger of a difference there. So
we need to approve this now, or will this be on the subsequent agenda?
This will be on the consent agenda for next Monday night's meeting. So, and then I also have, I want to talk a little bit about some of the other benefits as well, but I don't want to move off of health care until everyone is comfortable with what we've discussed.
Since this is not on live TV, you're suggesting it be on consent, do you think that you need to review our menu for next Monday night to give Paul a chance to see if he needs to be here for that meeting?
I could certainly do that.
I think he enjoyed tonight.
Yeah,
so I just had to say that.
We can certainly make that happen.
BD, this is, I guess, more of a curiosity question. I don't think it's on the screen right now, but under the prescription drugs or drug benefits, somewhere there it talks about mail order drugs. Is that usually considered to be a little cheaper price that the individual has to pay? And if so, I mean, we probably don't know how many of our staff use that, if that's the case.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. We don't know how many staff use it, but I do know over the last several years, Paul has worked very hard to communicate through open enrollment how important it can be to use the mail order. Oftentimes, the costs aren't lower, but you may get 3 months worth of a prescription benefit versus 2 months.
Yeah.
And that's where the cost savings comes in, due to the fact that you're getting that extra month, in essence, for free. We have over the last 2 years through Aetna been able to strongly encourage staff members to take advantage of that mail order program.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to shift gears and talk a little bit about some of the other benefits that will renew on July 1st as well. The first is our dental program. And just as a summary, we are currently self-insured with regards to our dental insurance. We've had kind of a rocky year with regards to our claims for dental. Using the analogy that 100% is kind of the norm, we've seen swings from as low as the high 80s to 150%. The higher that number goes, the more that we're paying relative to what we're receiving in premium equivalents. And so as a result of our experience over the last 12 months, our recommendation is that we increase our premium equivalents for our dental program by 15%. In total, it comes out to be a little over $13,000 in cost, and it's a relatively nominal increase as compared to the health care coverage. We have not had any increases in our dental coverage in 3 years, and in a couple cases, we may have decided to hold the rates because we were concerned that we may have some of these years or months where we're seeing some large fluctuations and swings. So we're recommending a 15% increase in our dental premium equivalents for next year. And we're not recommending any changes to our dental administration, which is currently contracted through Delta Dental. Life insurance, accident, death, and dismemberment, and short-term disabilities, there is no increase. And actually, Paul was able to negotiate a rate hold for the next 2 years on any costs associated with our town-paid life insurance, our AD&D, and the short-term disability program that we have, that we as a town provide to our staff members at no cost to them. And obviously, we're not recommending that we make a change in our vendor, who is currently Reliance Standard. Our COBRA and our flexible spending account recommendation, unfortunately, we're seeing about a 3% increase in the administrative costs associated with COBRA and flexible spending. That 3% increase for COBRA represents about a $133 increase in terms of cost, relatively nominal. And for our flexible spending, it's about 13 cents per staff member that's participating in the flexible spending account is what those 3% increases represent. It's the first administrative increase we've seen from InfiniSource in over 3 years. And when Paul contacted them to try and discuss with them, asking if they would reconsider, what we were told was based on the increase in the number of staff members that we have seen over the 3 years, that is the reason why they're requesting this 3% increase. And so as a result of that, we're recommending that we stay with InfiniSource with that 3% increase and do not change vendors. The last thing I want to share with you is the timeline that we're proposing. So what I'm hopeful for based on your feedback tonight and your recommendations is that at the April 1st meeting next Monday night, we could receive approval from you for the recommendations that have been made tonight. We have already started our plans for our open enrollment period, which will be from May 6th until May 24th. And then all of the changes that we put into effect and all of the changes that our staff members make during the open enrollment period will become effective on July 1st of this year. So with that, I will entertain any questions that you have for Paul or I.
I want to make sure I'm comparing apples to apples, but so it's in this plan, isn't it, that if the employee provides some information on a survey, there's a $20 discount, reduction, whatever,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
The same as last year, is that right?
It's the same program as last year. So yeah. Aetna has a health risk assessment questionnaire, and each staff member voluntarily completes that health risk assessment. And if they do so, then they will receive a $20 per pay period reduction on their monthly premium, which for staff members would take it back to 100% town paid. So there's no change in terms of that aspect of the program from what we did last year. But it is a voluntary program. Staff members are not forced or required to complete that. But if they do, they will receive that $20 per pay period incentive, which makes their town paid contribution for their monthly premiums 100%.
Okay, thank you. Right.
Better than nothing. As far as it coming down, our insurance has increased in the last 5 years about 50%, has it not?
Yes.
About a million dollars or more, right? Million and a half?
Isn't that probably about right?
1.3. I don't have the math, but that's
1.3, I believe.
How much has increased?
1.3 million.
About the national trend, too, 50% increase in the past several years. Ours just came hard and more suddenly.
Those increases started when we had Blue Cross Blue Shield and continued
with Aetna.
And continued with Aetna.
What is the
slower rate?
So what was the budget line item cost so that the town would say if we got a $35 million budget, what's been the line item cost to the town, say, 3 or 4 years ago, and what is it most likely going to be this year? Just so that the people have
We can bring that back to you when you approve it or consider approving it at the next meeting.
Yeah, I don't. Off the top of my head, Mr. Candy, I don't know that I want to even try and venture a guess on that, but we can get that for you.
That's a walking around.
The reason I just say it's I'm glad it's better than nothing. I mean, it's gone up 5 years, and we're getting a 4% rebate, so that's 3/4 of a It was better than nothing.
Better than the alternative, I think. Yeah,
record.
Thank you. I think we will need to approve the recommendation. We don't have a better alternative at this point. Vote to approve.
Well, if we started out with a 10% increase and you negotiated it down to zero, we'd be happy as fat pigs in a mud puddle. And so we were thinking we'd likely be a decrease in understand that the natural feelings about it, but appreciate the effort that's been put into it. The numbers are what they are, and we got to have insurance.
I would just like to publicly thank Paul and his staff at Independent Benefit Advisors as well. As I've mentioned in the past, they make me look a lot better than I should with regards to the information that we're able to put together. So I thank him and his staff, and I thank you all for your time and your consideration tonight.
Go out and celebrate by running 100 miles.
There you go. Thank you.
Do you have anything else?
It's got the third quarter review.
Hi, good evening, Mayor, members of council. Staff has finalized the FY 2019 third quarter review. That basically means is we reviewed all expenditures and all revenues within the town and have a pretty good feel of where we think we're going to end up at the end of the year and ultimately some potential things that we could fund with those operating savings if we choose to do so. With that, we're going to review revenue and expenditure estimates, review one-time requirements, and then finalize funding decisions. So on the revenue side, FY19 revenues are projected to be $37,094,709, which is an increase of about $558,000 or 1.5% over the current budget. What I'd point out there is obviously $557,000 feels like a fairly big number, but in terms of percentages for the total budget, it's not a significant increase. So we are pretty in line with what we budgeted and pretty close with our original forecast. Additional revenues are primarily related to higher anticipated development-related revenues. We've just had more activity within planning and inspections than originally anticipated, interest earnings, and real estate revenue. So the real estate revenue is the revised forecast from Wake County. They provide that originally, and then they provide a revised forecast later in the year. And then interest income has been driven by decisions the town has made, but also the market just outperforming what we originally thought. And then I would also just point out that this total does not include a fee in lieu of parklands. That's an additional approximately $250,000 that we're anticipating that has to be committed for a specific purpose. So we haven't intermingled it with the other revenues. Expenditure estimates for FY19 are projected to be $36,171,929, which is a decrease of $365,000 or 1.0% from the budgeted level, so it'll be lower than we originally budgeted. Again, those numbers seem fairly significant, but in the context of percentages, we are 1% from the amount that we budgeted, so very close. Those savings are primarily based on position turnover, utility savings, and operating savings. And of the total, $138,735 is related to the delayed opening of the Recreation Center. So those savings are primarily in parks and public works. And especially when you look at the percentage totals, if you take out the $138,000 from the Rec Center, we are very close on the expenditure side to being where we estimated. So the town's overall financial position, with the factoring in of the additional revenue, the lower than anticipated expenditures, we will be about $923,000 in the black in terms of the operating budget. What I would point out is that this is somewhat conservative. Additional miscellaneous savings are likely to materialize. Staff reviewed personnel very closely in the large ticket operating items, but there are going to likely be some savings in the smaller line items within operating. And obviously, there could be additional staff departures or delays in the hiring process. So we were conservative, and those estimates could rise a little bit on the expenditure side. So in terms of funding recommendations, there are two formal recommendations and then a variety of potential opportunities. So the first recommendation will be coming to you on April 1st, and that's to utilize interest income revenue to fund town attorney overages. We also could use and are recommending to utilize inspection revenue to fund a vehicle and equipment for the inspections position that was approved mid-year. So that position was approved without those additional items, and as they get hired next in the coming weeks, in the coming months, they will need a vehicle and some additional equipment. So those are the two formal recommendations. In addition, there are a variety of other funding options. So the first one would be no other adjustments. So any savings that materialize for the rest of the year would fall to fund balance. We do have the opportunity, and it was discussed at council retreat, to utilize savings associated with the late opening of the recreation center to cover signage or other requirements for the recreation center. So that is an additional option that we could look at. Next one is to utilize interest income revenue to fund the transportation design software. So that's the software we talked about earlier with the bond requirements, the software that would allow us to perform some initial analysis with transportation-related designs before we meet with consultants. We could also utilize anticipated savings in communications and economic development to fund at least a portion of the WRAL campaign. So that would be a campaign where staff would work with Garner would work with staff and WRAL to publish a series of articles about the town within WRAL's website. Also could utilize anticipated savings in parks, recreation, and cultural resources to fund security improvements. And there's been some additional activity that has occurred at GPAC and Avery Street that staff feels like there could be some potential security cameras and some lighting options that would enhance security and make staff feel more secure as they're exiting the building at night. And we also could utilize anticipated savings in public works to fund an asset management system. And this is a two-part system, so it's a work order system. The work order system would replace an old system that was staff-built that is just old and not functional. And it would also allow us to have an asset management system, so a system that would allow the town to program the various assets we have and that would help us with preventative maintenance and extend the life of our different assets within the town. With that, I'll take any questions and also any recommendations in terms of what the ultimate funding options are going to be.
On these other options, I'll start at the bottom of the last one you were at the Public Works is going to have some savings, and they can fund this asset management system. So the savings is there that will fund the system, right?
We believe that there will be savings that would be sufficient to fund it, but this would be something that we could continue to monitor throughout the year to make sure that they had the sufficient funding, so we'd purchase it later in the year after we, you know, were 100% sure that they were going to have those savings fully materialize.
The one above it is about these anticipated savings for Parks and Rec to fund security improvements at, I think it was Avery Street, GPAC, and someplace else.
Yes, sir. And that would be the same thing where we would make sure the savings materialize, but we do believe that there will likely be some savings there that would be able to fund this.
So we're going to run through June 30th to see the savings from there, and then we'll use that money, we'll carry over the money to fund these items. Is that true or what?
I think we try to identify that the funding was going to be there earlier than that and make the purchase and get everything set up prior to June 30th.
Okay.
That's the general.
Since we're 90 days waiting from June 30th, that's why I was just asking. You kept saying wait later in the year. There's not a whole lot of year to keep waiting on. That's what I was asking. All right. There's two of them.
Can I follow up on that one, Greg?
Yes.
Parks and Recreation. In an earlier session, were we talking about using the anticipated savings in Parks and Recreation to fund, was it signage?
That's another
on
item
on the previous
there.
Page. Talk about that. Page 17.
someone that, when the micro goes down, it's the next page before the other funding options continued. There you go.
Yeah, and that would be savings within parks and public works. So the savings for in parks in terms of the recreation center are primarily staffing related. So there were some delays in the hiring process. An internal candidate was selected for one of the positions. And obviously part-time or supplemental staffing has not been required to fund the rec center. So that would be savings on the personnel side in parks that could go towards these requirements. We do believe that there will likely be some operating savings as well.
Of course, we anticipate, I think, when the rec center is open to need some more positions to operate that facility, do we not?
We already accounted for
it. Yeah, the positions have been funded. It was just because of the delays, some of the positions were delayed in the hiring process, and there was an internal candidate selected for one of the positions, so then that person's position became vacant, and that extended the process. And there was a variety of funding for part-time or supplemental staff, and because the time to ramp up for that for those folks is a little bit less, those folks haven't been hired and wouldn't be hired until we get a little bit closer to when the rec center opens. So that's the bulk of the savings.
Any more questions? Comments?
Yes. So we're going to the savings in Parks and Rec to help with security improvements, cameras, and also some improved lighting, public works to fund the asset management system. I'm up to communication economic development for the portion of the VRL campaign. Y'all know I'm big on that. I've emailed you my interest in that numerous times and will continue to do so. Utilize interest income to help the transportation design software. Savings associated with Parks and Rec could pay for the signage or other requirements. So let me ask this question. Now, as we talked earlier today, this is why I asked the question. It's shown in the bond monies, $130,000, which is roughly what we think that's a good estimate or we think that's light?
We think it's probably a little bit high, but should be
in the neighborhood. All right, you said we need to buy, Pam said some date, June 11th or some date, we had to recognize bond money of July 11th or May 11th or some date. July 11th, okay. Whether it's going to be bond money or not. So, and maybe that's the way you do it. I don't know. There's no doubt in my mind that when we get in the rec center, they're going to find out we need something else. And so, we've always forgot this, we've got that. There's no doubt in my mind with all the hiccups we've had with that thing is not going to open smooth as silk. I think we all agree. I'm just saying, if that happens, this savings associated with delayed opening, we're going to fund balance. But if they need things, I don't want to come back and say we got to have a budget in there. If the money was sitting there from this year, we should have the money to buy whatever they need to get up and running, whether it's whatever it may be. I might don't try to come back and say where we can find the money. Well, you saved $139,000 in the fund balance if you used $130,000 for the signage. I'm just saying, that's going to happen. We all know it's going to happen. I just want y'all coming back and human hauling and hand-wringing and saying where we can find the money, and we didn't spend the money, you went to fund balance. Because it's going to happen. I think we all realize it's going to happen. As many hiccups as we've had. There's no telling what will come of that. So whether you spend the money with the bond money or you use the savings, you tell me what we should do. If you have to designate the money and we're selling all the bonds to finish close out, we've got to get the money for bonds for something to do with the rec center. Whether it's signage, basketballs, formats, anything, landscaping, I don't know. I'm just saying, I think we all sit here and know that we're going to need more money for that bond, for that rec center when it opens up. I just want anybody to come in here and say, oh, my gosh, we ain't getting the money. If we used $130 from the bonds and we saved $139 in operation funds. I just want to, you know, I don't have that discussion. Funding recommendations, inspection revenue to fund the equipment. Sounds good. We've already approved that position. And the interest income to cover the attorney. It'll cover that. Everything will be covered, right? All right. I think the other options, I agree with what you got down here. I agree with your recommendations. Just decide on what to do with the $130, whether it's on savings or the bonds, whatever's the best way. But we're going to need money for the rec center.
We're going to have a – I'm sorry, I missed some of that. But I guess we're going to have enough of a shortfall. We're going to need that and other sources. Is that
– What, the rec center?
The rec center,
Rodney, as you were out of the room, one of the points Mr. Singleton made is that –
it is likely that we will need things that we are cannot expect right now once we get in the rec center.
Yes.
And so I think, and Mr. Singleton said, tell us what the best way to do is. I think that Ms. Wortham would agree, and but we want her to weigh in. I think ideally what bond council would want us to do is pay for any capital improvement or capital items out of bond funds first.
Which is the signs. Right.
And then anything, this savings or anything else in the operating budget could be used for operational or programmatic needs at the rec center once we're in there. So I think that is probably the cleanest way. And if we don't need all of that money in the bond funds for the signage, and it's not needed for any other issues with the rec center, the capital portion of the rec center, then those dollars can be used for other capital park projects.
Projects. The point is, I bet we need the 130 for signage, and I don't know how much of the 139 we might need, but I bet we'll need something to get it up and running.
Did you have a point you wanted to make?
I was going to say, so when we get to the end of June and the rec center is not open, we haven't identified everything that we need. One option would be to set some of those funds aside into a committed fund balance so that it didn't go to our regular fund balance in order to use that for items like that. So I just wanted to point that out.
That sounds good to me.
Is the RAL campaign is that a total of $18,000 to do that? Is that right?
Yes, sir. And based on conversations, it doesn't sound like we'll have the full funding amount, but it sounds like we would come maybe closer to $10,000, which would allow us to fund at least a portion of the campaign. And you know, some additional savings may materialize, but that's at least what staff feels comfortable with. Currently.
Yeah, when I saw fund a portion of it, that's the reason I'm going to
go. Rick, did you want to add anything to that discussion?
Yeah, there's another add-on that would up the package to about 21.5. So,
There's the $18,000 figure cited there, but there's an add-on if we wanted to get a promotional video done that would up that package to about 21.5. But, and again, you know, Joe and I are trying to identify as much in savings as possible, but we're thinking it, this year would be in the ballpark of about $10,000. So if we wanted to move forward with this campaign, it would be with the understanding that we would have to fund some of it also in next year's budget.
Anything else, Michael?
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
Well, I think we need to have some understanding of whether to bring back a budget amendment or have approval to move forward with these items. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yes, what you've recommended and other options, the other funding recommendations and the other funding options, I think no one has vehemently said we're opposed to it, so yes, a budget amendment.
I just want to be sure.
Sounds good.
Do we need to take a formal vote on that? I mean, I'd be happy to move that we approve these recommendations if we need a formal vote.
Go ahead.
I think we got enough consensus, but we'll just bring it back. Budget amendment. Yeah, when you approve the budget amendment, that'll be your formal approval.
Very good. Very good.
That way you only have to vote on it once.
Hey, Michael, honey, I think you're last.
Yeah, I went over item number 4 in the last session we had earlier today, and I, like I said, I will follow that up with a written response for those items and a list for you to review. One thing we wanted to add to the agenda, and I guess I should have did this at the beginning. I forgot. But
I should have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we've all talked about it, but then forgot. is a discussion about the Pennington Grove fee in lieu of tax agreement we have with DHIC, which is the Downtown Housing Investment Corporation. So I was notified earlier this week that DHIC is applying for financial funding, financing from Wake County to do building number two, Pennington Grove number two, which is a senior living apartment building located off of a Health Park Drive. And is that right? Heather Park Drive. I did that before. Heather Park Drive. And as part of that application, they had to provide a 30-year pro forma to Wake County. And Wake County noticed that DHIC was paying a fee in lieu of taxes to the town of Garner. And they preferred that none of their financing went toward paying fees or kind of a pseudo tax to Garner. So they are requesting that Garner remove its requirement that DHIC pay us that fee in lieu of tax. Otherwise, they will cut the financing package for DHIC by upwards of $500,000. The executive director of DHIC is telling me that if that happens, that's going to not allow them to build the second building in Garner. So, you know, I just bring it to you. I sent you copies of the agreement that we had with them. When they initially built phase one, they agreed to pay taxes. And then subsequent to that, they agreed to pay taxes on any other phases of that project. Something happened with their financing. So a year ago, they asked that we remove the property tax designation and call it, but they said they would make us whole by giving us a fee in lieu of. So we signed the agreement to that effect. So I'm just kind of asking what your preference is for doing that, if you want to entertain doing that. I know some of you expressed that you might want to hear from Wake County, and DHIC executive director said he could be here in front of the council also. But
I'm trying to remember if I've heard a similar kind of issue arisen in some other areas of Wake County, other municipalities, or we're the only one.
Well, what I've been told, I think we may be the only ones that have a fee in lieu of agreement like we have. That's probably unique. But the legislation changed. All the communities used to be able to charge taxes until the investors were paid out of the deal when you had private investment in the deal. But the law changed where it makes them tax exempt from the start, regardless of the financing structure or the investment structure. So they have asked that any communities where they were continue to pay taxes, that they would be tax exempt from here on out.
I would just make the observation, as the mayor knows, I'm your representative of Triangle J Council of Government, and there are not many meetings I attend, which covers, about a 6 or 7 county region, that the issue of affordable housing doesn't come up for most all municipalities around. And so it's not going to go away anytime soon. I certainly think our town is has been sensitive to that. I would say that it seems to me I'd be happy to hear from Wake County or DHIC, but I think ideally we would be in a mode of cooperating with Wake County as much as we can to accomplish these objectives as it relates to affordable housing. So hopefully they're not trying to get anything over on us. I think they're hopefully negotiating, if I can say it that way, in good faith. That's my initial impression, but if somebody can come out and speak to the issue, I'd be happy to hear from them.
I have no idea. exactly what that number is. I don't know if planning, I don't know how we calculate that.
I think you'd have to calculate it. We don't have a calculation, but you would have to have some baseline of which type of affordable housing you're defining as affordable before we could do specific calculations. So we don't have a number, and it's sort of hard to get a number unless we put more parameters around what we're trying to measure.
Okay, I remember asking probably 12, 13 years ago, asking Ms. Todd when she was the manager what that ratio was, and I think it's lower than that now. But my point is, I'd like to hear from Wake County. Impression could be wrong, but my impression is that we cooperated a lot over the years. Housing it, and Mr. Marshman's right, the need is not going to go away. But at the same time, I just like, if we don't accomplish anything else, but to have them become aware of what we have already done going forward, maybe it's just so that we can feel appreciated more, but I'm just not sure.
And we had a presentation on affordable housing about a year, maybe a little bit more than a year ago, where the chair of the commission came and a staff member, and I know we relayed some of those things to them, but we can do it again.
Isn't it fair to say that Pennington Grove, and I've visited the facility, there's some Meals on Wheels deliver a few times, but at any rate, certainly has, shall I say, filled up with tenants. There's certainly a demonstration of a need, and probably
apparently I think they have a waiting list.
Yeah, I was going to say projected need for a similar type facility. If you haven't been in it, it's obviously a new facility, and it's what I would consider to be a good affordable housing type facility to have in our town. And as has been noted, there's a need and a waiting list. So at least in my view, anything we can do to cooperate with them around something that's reasonable, we ought to do it.
Well, anything I say is going to be construed that huge in the crowd, but the people that made the presentation a year ago were very informed, and therefore I think they might be informed as to what other communities are doing. It would be able to give us an accurate representation of how we are performing versus others, because I'm only operating in the sense that I don't hear about what other people are doing except for Cary and in their magnificence of funding 9 units this past year. So it'd be interesting to see how we compare with Cary and some other the communities. At the same time, you like the field of dreams. You build it, and they will come. If we've got the facilities, people are going to fill out the applications, and I don't blame them. And Garner's been on an uphill battle to climb out of this housing doldrum where we've got all of the lowest pricing homes in the county. And I'm sure that the folks in DHIC could, help give me and educate me and give me a different perspective on how I'm just only looking at in a very narrow spectrum. So I'd like for them to come to talk to us. Maybe it probably won't educate me more than anything. I think the thing I took exception to was the way things were presented, and that we needed to do more and contribute and forego a $25,000 tax bill. And I took it the wrong way, and I don't mind telling them I took it the wrong way. That's just the way I took it. That's what it was. You need your show of support was by contributing $25,000, and it's like going out and telling the public, we got to raise $25,000 so that we show support. And that's $1,000 of taking from one pocket and putting to another. Yes, I'm biased,
I've got some preconceived notions, but let's hear the straight of it and see just how well Garner is doing or not doing in the marketplace.
Very good, very good. We'll invite somebody.
Yes, I'll invite staff and or elected. If someone elected wants to come, I'll relay that to them and the executive director of DHIC to present. Now, I think at this point, and I mean, there's no pressure right now for us to make a decision, but it's going to go back to Fort Wayne County on Monday, on April 1st. And I was told that Wake County can approve their financing structure with a clause that said the amount is going to be contingent on what Garner does. So, so even if we don't have an answer for them by Monday, they'll figure out how they want to word that.
So the question before us is, the law says in the new building, we can't charge the taxes. The question is, they're going to hold the second building in abeyance depending upon whether we give up the taxes on the first building.
Well, they have said that they've already approved the financing for the first building. So we're not obligated to remove the taxes on the first building because that financing has already been completed. They would like for us to, but it's the second building that's yet to be done.
The second?
Yeah. They want to remove.
I'll put it in layman's language. The second building is held hostage based on the taxes, tax relief of the first.
No, it's being held hostage. Well, I don't want to repeat what you just said.
You don't have to use my words.
But
mine are good enough.
We have two agreements. One that says they will continue to pay taxes on the first building, and then the other clause says they will pay a fee in lieu of on the building yet to be built, the second building. So
a payment in lieu of taxes.
A payment in lieu of taxes on the phase two.
So regardless,
we don't have to do anything with one, but on building two, at the least, they would like for us to release them from this fee in lieu of agreement for phase two, building two.
Let me add something in here. Years ago, when this came around, Hardin Watkins was involved in discussions with DHIC and got them to agree to pay taxes, although it wasn't required they would have to do it. And then the law got changed a little bit further that made it even less likely they'd have to pay taxes. And so they came in and said, well, we're really not supposed to be taxed, but we know we agreed to pay you all some money. So we'll call it a fee in lieu. And we drew up that amendment to the thing where they'd pay a fee in lieu on the old building and on the new ones that would come in. So I think as I understand it, Rodney, what they're asking for now is, I mean, I know they might like for us to forgive it on the first one, but what they're really asking us to do is to not charge it on the second.
The second one, that's really the real ask, although,
right.
Yeah, that's the real ask. But Wake County would like us to release it on both, but the second one is the real ask.
So the tax value on that is approximately the same, but the annual tax
it'll probably be similar.
Roughly the same neighborhood.
It'll probably be the same type of building, roughly the same type of investment.
I'm sure you explained it in the email, but I thought that they were asking for the tax on the first one to be given up.
Oh, in my discussions with Wake County staff, they would like for us to do both, but this financing really only relates to the second building, releasing them of the future building.
And this is senior affordable housing, right? I mean, it's touted
yes.
as a...
Yes.
So that, is that...
Yeah,
that's not workforce.
Because that... this is senior housing. Pennington Grove is senior affordable housing. It's age restricted. And the original agreement had a eligible for property tax exemption for under that old statute for 18 years. That's what the current building number one is under.
Just another quick word in it. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind, but I'm also currently chairing at the Triangle J Council on Aging, and as part of that, I'm learning a lot about aging as I age myself, I guess. But I've learned that, that for seniors, affordable housing in many areas is a growing concern and need in terms of something that's quality and not secondhand, so to speak. But at any rate, so there definitely is a need out there, I guess, all over Wake County, as far as it goes, for this kind of housing.
Well, maybe I should read closer to the material, but I certainly got the distinct impression that one was held in abeyance of the other. And that's good to hear that it's not. The law says they don't have to pay taxes on the second one. I'm not going to argue with it. And the law is the law. And although we may have an agreement that we can circumvent that and call it something else, a fee in lieu of, I don't have any problem supporting their request to drop the fee in lieu of. I just had the thought that we needed to show our support by dropping the 25, and I don't see any need to do that. It was formulated. The pro forma was formulated on that in the first place, and subsequent council may decide to drop it. But right now, I don't know that there's a real necessity. So at the same time, Wake County's going to make a decision on April the 1st. Not like we got to. I don't know that I changed. That if I had a month, I don't know whether I changed my mind or not. So I don't have any problem dropping the fee in lieu of, but keep the 25 on building number one.
We'll ask them to come and give us.
I would still like the education. And I hope it can be done at a regular session so that the people and the people that hear it, people in the community can hear it. Because it's just like I was misleading myself. I'll blame me. But the people out there, this is a topic that keeps coming up, and if there's 1,000 people out there, there's at least 1,001 different ideas about it. And so I think it would be, I'm not prepared to grill them. I would hope to be prepared to ask them some questions about the program.
Yeah, I think that's legitimate.
And based on their timetable, I was going to see if someone could come to our Monday meeting, but
no.
Since we're pretty loaded, mm-hmm. We can relax that and get them maybe subsequent meeting and address whatever questions we might have.
So, I think it'd be definitely after Elmo's seated, I think he'd want to get up to date on that as much as he could.
But I think I'm hearing that I can tell him that we are willing to rescind our fee in lieu of agreement dated June 26, 2018. However, we would like the part that applies to building two or phase two, but we would like to continue the commitment for them not to seek tax exemption for phase one or building one. So,
I think that's what I heard.
We'll have to do an amendment that takes out the phase two portion of this agreement. Okay. All right.
Good. Ready to go home?
I need a motion to adjourn.
How about we have, could we go over a couple of council reports, please?
Let's do it. Let's start with Ken Marshman. Anything to report?
I'm going to pass, Mr. Mayor. I've had other things on my mind, so I don't have any reports tonight.
Kathy?
Only one thing, Mr. Mayor. I will not be president at next week's meeting. I will be in Asheville at a conference for Southern Women in Municipal Government.
Ray?
I want to thank folks, Stella, Rebecca, BD, others that helped with the employee breakfast last week. The employees enjoyed it. They seemed to. Can we get appetites? And so we enjoyed doing it. The Jackie Johns Town of Garner employee breakfast, because he's the one who started it all those years ago, wanted to start doing it. So call it the Jackie Johns Town of Garner employee breakfast.
I'm going to second what Gray said, and I'm going to repeat it. And Rebecca, DD, and Stella, it wouldn't have gone smoothly if you'd have left it up to a bunch of grumpy old men and one delightful lady to get it started.
You got your way around.
Yeah, that was.
I guess you did.
Even though she arrived late,
as it
did, really.
True.
I know, Rebecca, you said you got up at 3:15.
Hmm.
I'm not, and got an early start. So my hat's off to all of you. I'll repeat to the benefit of the Garner community, we had excellent candidates for the position to fill Mr. John's seat, and we can be, every one of us to a person can be proud of the folks that sought to serve. Regarding the couple of follow-up thoughts regarding the construction manager position that was mentioned tonight, Chris. In ruminating over it a little bit, it sounds like that's a job description that'll morph from planning to, because you need somebody on the planning side and then morph into a management side. And I'll be interested in just, I'll let y'all take care of that, but I'll be interested in seeing what that job description is, but and then be interested in when you all propose how it works out with the budget to when you all are looking to fill that position. So I'm just looking forward to that, because I think it's going to be something that could serve us very well. And that's all I have.
Okay, I need a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
There it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.